Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Welcome back to Out of the Abyss with you as always, Locke, Pip, and Jake.
Yep.
Hey.
Fellas, it has been a week. How do you feel about your attempts to remote view?
In hindsight, pretty embarrassed. I'm remote viewing the past and it doesn't look good.
I'm still mad that I was close and then fucked it up. I'm still mad, dude.
You didn't trust your gut instinct.
No, dude. I was like into it for a sec. I'm like, this is dumb. And then I just stopped being into it. But if I just kept being into it, dude, think about it. There you go. I'd be there.
You could have seen. Well, this week, I have something exciting. Something that we were destined to eventually talk about.
The Grunch.
Consider this our Bigfoot part one. I introduce to you the wonderful world of wild men. Not Bigfoot, but Big of Foot. We're going to take a look at a couple of Bigfoot-like entities from around the world, from different cultures, leading into the episode for next week, which will be a look more at Bigfoot and claims that people have caught Bigfoot and whether we should kill or not kill Bigfoot. There's a lot of Bigfoot.
Tying into the pre-show there, would you eat Bigfoot meat?
I want someone else to try it first. I'll freeze my portion. Someone else try it first, see if you get any weird prion diseases. And then,
I think the prion disease is just from the brain.
You can eat the whole animal.
The meat is fine.
It's disrespectful otherwise.
True.
I use every part of the Bigfoot.
Yeah. So, before we get started...
It's like a little Bigfoot onesie, dude. What were they called?
Snuggies. It's just a Wookiee costume.
Yeah. Exactly, dude. Wookiee Snuggie. Love it. Need that in my life.
Yeah, I'll jot that down for Christmas gift ideas.
Yeah, dude, throw in the merch to me.
So,
God, I bet you that would be so comfy, though.
So before we get
Chelsea
started...
Chelsea actually has a Wookiee Snuggie, dude. No meme, she has one.
Oh my God.
It's got like the Chewbacca bandolier on it and everything too. It's pretty sick.
It sounds so warm.
It is.
So before we get started... Oh nice, I actually got through it that time. So before we get started, quick shout out to research assistant Loa, who put in a bunch of late nights drawing up like an 18-page dossier on everything that we're going to talk about today. And I'm also going to preface this by saying, get ready for me to butcher a lot of words. Like a lot.
Yeah, it's nothing new, dude. Got him.
So, let's look first at what Bigfoot is. We're not specifically looking at Bigfoot, but so that we can look at things that are in the cast of Bigfoot, let's kind of establish this. It is, of course, a North American humanoid ape? Maybe?
Maybe?
We're not sure what it is. We've never caught one. It's always hearsay or iffy video and audio recordings or bad photos. But we have casts of giant footprints. You know?
Yeah,
it's pretty neat.
Always wanted to find one of those myself and make my own Bigfoot casting.
I'd be terrified.
Yeah.
I would be scared, but I would also be like, oh, this is going on the shelf.
Oh yeah, but like, the notes here are saying the footprints can be as big as 24 inches long and 8 inches wide. I am running out of there screaming.
That is a big foot. See, I thought I had big feet, but damn.
Yeah, so, lads, before we start, I need to ask, are we Bigfoot believers or aren't we Bigfoot believers?
All right, who here's a Bigfoot truther?
I was just about to say Bigfoot truther. Yes.
Okay.
I want to believe. I'm in the Mulder school of thought here where I want to believe.
I want to believe, And I think it's possible because there's like plenty of wilderness out there.
Sure.
But I don't know whether it's true or not. I really want to go on a Bigfoot hunting expedition.
So here's my thing about why I don't believe it's real, okay? We literally have satellites in space that you can watch, you know, the Super Bowl on, for instance, right?
Right.
But nobody can make, like, just a fucking picture of this shit. Nobody can just pop a picture up and be like, here it is, here's the thing, right?
I mean, you know how many things have natural camouflage where you look at it in, like, a still picture and you don't even see it? Until you've looked at it for like a bunch.
Let me reiterate. You can literally watch the Super Bowl from above the stadium from fucking space, bro.
Yeah, and they're all very brightly colored. You try and find a brown creature against the dead leaves of a forest or something.
Spoiler alert for next episode. What if I told you that Bigfoot had a cloaking device?
Okay, dude.
Yeah, you know, that's a fairly common theory, right, I think. Dude. There's a little all something right. more to it. Also, I mean, what if he's in a cave? Our satellite's gonna see him in a cave.
Ooga booga.
Checkmate.
He would
Atheists.
Leave the cave at some point.
Would he?
Yeah.
But not the whole time. You gotta be searching the cave. You wanna be staring at the whole of North America, every piece of it, every second?
That's what satellites
I mean, we
do.
Have the...
That's
we have
they,
the techno.
That's literally their job.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they do.
The satellite's gonna see it, but I mean, people ain't gonna see it. We
I
have
mean,
the technology. We don't have the resources.
There.
Yeah, no. Let me explain how satellite imaging works to you, because apparently you don't understand. It literally takes a picture every half second of everything it sees, and then it can relay back any changes in the scenery to anyone who looks for it.
So, how do you isolate changes in the pictures down to just Bigfoots as opposed to, like, a rabbit or any of the other bajillion animals in the forest or, like, the wind?
Because it's bigger.
I will...
Significantly.
I will also say, though...
I assume.
While,
a bear?
While an infrared picture from a satellite could pick stuff up, I will say that there's plenty of areas with dense enough bush cover that, like...
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
A lot of coniferous trees there. You can hide
under. My point is, I'm willing to believe. Just fucking show me something that's not a blurry mess. But no one's been able to do that, so I don't believe.
All right, we're gonna go Bigfoot hunting, and Jake's gonna have a Bigfoot experience.
Now listen, I think when we go searching for Bigfoot, I don't think we should call it Bigfoot hunting in case Bigfoot hears. I think we should call it Bigfoot finding expedition, just so that we don't go out there making enemies.
Bigfoot discovery.
There expedition. We go.
Bigfoot friend you know, quest.
Yeah, Bigfoot friend quest 2022.
We'll just order a really big one of those real dolls. The sex dolls?
Oh, no.
Get one really big. We'll tack on some shag carpeting, light some candles, throw on some Barry White. I think we can do it. Not only will we get pictures of Bigfoot, we will get pictures of Bigfoot in a compromising position. And then we can blackmail him. We can blackmail him.
Oh, no, I'm sure that already
exists.
Do you think
he'd respond very well to that, or would he just fucking tear your arms off, dude?
You just be
I
offended?
Would tear my arms off all you want. The pictures are already deposited into a dead drop, and if I don't stop it, they'll be sent to every newspaper in the world.
Got him.
Your only hope is to not kill me and let me go stop it after you give me money. Or gold. Or
Beep?
Pose for me. I don't know.
Pose for me.
Yeah, for some pictures. Alright, I'll tell you what. I won't post these pictures of you fucking a sex doll, but I will post this picture of you in a leather jacket with sunglasses. Like, we can meet halfway on this.
Yeah, dude. They call him Badass Foot.
George Thoroughfoot?
George Thoroughfoot.
Alright.
But this is kind of all a sidebar because we're not talking about Bigfoot today. That's next week. This week, we've got some stuff that's a little bit different. Let's start with the Ogogwe.
Wait, how do you pronounce that again?
Ogogwe. Also known as
Agogwe.
The Agogure, Agogwe, Kakundukari, and Kilumba.
How much rehearsal did you have for those? Because you are nailing it, I think.
Oh, thanks, man. None. Just making it up.
Nice.
Classic white person tradition. I'm just making it up and sounding confident.
Yep. That's the trick.
Its habitat is mostly East Africa, Tanzania, Mozambique, Kenya, Zimbabwe, and the Congo. Its description is bipedal, 3 to 4 feet tall, covered in hair that's long and woolly, usually red-brown, but it's also been reported to be black and gray. Under the hair, it has a yellowish-reddish skin, long arms, rounded forehead, and small, sharp teeth. Here we've even got some notable sightings. In 1937, Captain William Hitchens saw two small brown furry creatures cross a glade and disappear into the trees on the other side. I love that could just be muskrats or something.
Saw a squirrel and just had no idea what to think of it.
In 1927, Cuthbert Burgoyne and his wife were on a ship watching baboons feeding on the shore when they saw two strange little brown men walk down to the monkeys from the trees.
Hmm.
And in the 1950s, I actually love this one. Professional animal collector Charles Cordier found an Ogogwe in Zaire that was entangled in one of his bird snares. And according to him, like it stepped in the snare, tripped, fell on its face, it turned over, sat up, took the noose off of its feet and just walked away before the nearby African could do anything.
Okay, so it's definitely gotten caught in those before and was like, oh, dang, not again.
Yeah, like it knows how to like get out of stuff. It understands tools and stuff like that.
Yeah. Little spooky? Feels a little spooky.
A little bit.
Looks just like a big monkey, dude.
Yeah. The ape man?
Yeah.
Next up, we have the Almas, also known as Almaslar, Nahua, Oshakochi, and Kaptar. Almas plural is Almesti?
Namaste.
Almaste.
We about to get all nasty.
Its habitat is the Caucasus and Pamir Mountains in Central Asia, near the southern part of Mongolia, along the Altai Mountains, and at the Tian Shan Pass near the northern border of China. So kind of the mountain range that runs along like northern India and China and stuff like that. Hmm. That's where it lives.
It's looking kind of Yeti-ish.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah.
Bipedal, 5 feet to 6.5 feet tall. Said to live in communities, craft tools, and wear primitive clothing. It's like a Neanderthal kind of.
Okay, so this is the end game for everyone on like a paleo diet.
Yeah, yeah.
All those paleo fans out there.
And what is this thing called again? An Almas. Yeah.
Yeah. Its body is covered in a thick brown or a reddish brown hair. Hands and faces bare with dark skin, a protruding brow, slanting forehead, flat nose, and a large protruding jaw.
It actually is just a caveman, right?
And long fingers. I mean, yeah.
It's like a less hairy knee.
The bigger head, probably.
Probably? I don't know. I got a pretty big head.
You have a slanted forehead.
I don't. I just have a large dome.
Now, this one's got a bunch of notable sightings. In 1430, Hans Schiltberger wrote about seeing the Almas in his personal journey of his or his personal journal of his trip to Mongolia as a prisoner of the Mongol Khan. In 1850, a man domesticated an Almas and named it Zanna, and apparently she had, and I quote, sexual relations with some of the townspeople and had a bunch of kids. The father gave the kids to local families, and they were eventually assimilated into society.
That one's the one that made me say whoa, because, like, whoa.
Yeah, that's quite the story.
I don't have any words for that other than whoa, because I feel like that's just a lot right there.
In 1941, a detachment of the Red Army captured a wild man somewhere in the Caucasus. It was covered in dark hair, and it couldn't talk, so they figured that it just must be a German spy and killed it.
As you do.
As was the custom.
In the 90s, scientists dug up the skull of one of Zanna's children, Kvit, and tested it, finding absolutely no Neanderthal features at all.
Yeah, that's kind of what I expected from that. It probably wasn't one of these. It was probably just, like, a hairy woman or something, you know?
Somebody with that, was it the wolf syndrome where they get all the hair?
Good babe.
2003, this is neat. Mountain climber Sergei Semenov found the foot and leg of an unknown creature about 3,500 meters up the side of a mountain in the Altai mountain range. Scientific tests and x-rays showed that the bones are thousands of years old, but they've got no idea what kind of creature it is.
Oh, that's weird.
And in 2008, one of Kvit's teeth, the child of Zanna that they had dug up, one of the teeth was examined by the TV show Monster Quest.
Wait, did they keep the leg? Did they leave it up there, or did they bring it back? They must have brought it back for x-rays.
Right? Yeah, I was going to say, if they got x-rays, they must have brought it back. Next up, let's move away from Asia. Let's go to Scotland for the big gray man of Ben McDoy.
Ah,
I love this one, dude.
Ben McDoy is the second highest peak of the Cairngorms. It's the highest peak of the Cairngorms and the second highest peak in all of Scotland. It's bipedal, very tall, like 8 feet tall minimum. Covered in short gray hair, and it stalks people until they notice that he's following them, and then he chases them.
Oh, I don't like that.
Apparently, it's got a powerful psychic effect, a feeling of overwhelming negative energy that triggers fear, apprehension, and panic. So, like in Pokemon terms, this is like a dark psychic type.
Yep.
So, wait, I mean, wouldn't that just be the general feeling of being stalked by an 8 foot tall, hairy monster man?
I mean, I guess.
No, it's psychic powers, dude.
It has to be psychic powers.
Clearly.
All right.
It is usually felt and heard more than seen, like a vast dark blur that covers the sky real quick, or like strange crunching noises or footsteps when no one else is there, a physical feeling of a cold grip on or a brush against the observer's flesh, or even a high-pitched humming sound, because the big gray man will sing. Notable sightings.
Brian,
yeah. Notable sightings, Professor J. Normal Colley. J. Normal Colley. What a name.
That doesn't seem like a real name.
It's pretty normal.
Yeah, my name is not normal.
Listen. This is me, Hugh Mann.
Now, Professor J. Normal Colley reported hearing the gray man following him, and for every two or three steps that he took, he heard a loud crunch. So he tried speed walking, but the footsteps got closer, and eventually he just gave up and just booked it out of there as fast as he could.
Fair.
In 1958, mountaineer Alexander Tunion, Tewnion,
that sounds right,
saw the gray man. He said, in October 1943, I spent a 10-day leave climbing alone in the Cairngorms. One afternoon, just as I reached the summit of Ben McDoy, mist swirled across the lair grew and enveloped the mountain. The atmosphere became dark and oppressive. A fierce, bitter wind whisked among the boulders, and an odd sound echoed through the mist. A loud footstep, it seemed. Then another, and another. A strange shape loomed up, receded, and then came charging at me. Without hesitation, I whipped out the revolver and fired 3 times at the figure. When it still came on, I turned and hared down the path, reaching Glendary in a time that I have never bettered. You may ask, was it really the Fairlaith Moor? Frankly, I think it was.
Dang, you imagine being that thing and, like, spending your whole life spooking people and chasing them, and you go to chase this one guy and he just fucking shoots you?
With a revolver 3 times?
The gun just immediately just beep, beep, beep. And you know what? No other notable sightings after that, I see. Yep. Changed his game a little bit.
Oh, we got shot.
It's like, you know what? It's not worth it anymore.
This happened to 50 Cent how many times? Oh my god. Next up, you know what? This one's for the weebs. Let's go to Japan. We got the Hibigon. Also known as the Hinagon or the Yamagon.
And it's hard to find because Hibigon.
I was about to make that joke.
Oh man, the lowest hanging fruit is the sweetest.
Yeah. Look at this picture. Look at it, dude.
It's a gorilla yokai. Ooh. It's good stuff.
He's of got course, it's a gorilla like, yokai,
like,
dude.
Like, dumb smile on his face and he's rubbing his chest. What the fuck's going on here, dude?
He's got these just these thin, gnarly fingers, dude.
Yep. Very grunch thing.
It's found in Mount Hiba.
Oh god, he is a little crunchy, isn't he?
And it's around 5 feet tall with a gorilla-like body, a big head with a protruding face shaped like an upside-down triangle. Smells like decomposing flesh. This is a common one, by the way, with Bigfoot-type creatures. They smell fucking awful.
Listen, I get it, because, like, you get a lot of stuff caught in that fur, especially some parts of the fur. How are you going to get that out?
Bigfoot, big smell.
Yeah.
It's covered.
Just think of how much toe jam you can fit between those big feet.
Ugh. It's covered in reddish brown or black fur, sometimes with a patch of white fur on its chest or arms.
Like a gorilla.
Yeah, it has a snub nose and big glaring eyes. It can move bipedally, on all fours, or hop like a monkey. It doesn't make noise and it isn't scared of people.
Did you guys know that up until, like, fairly recently, people thought gorillas were a fucking myth?
Yeah,
like Western people.
Yeah, until someone killed one and brought it down and slapped it on an examining table, and everyone was like, oh shit, I guess they're real.
Like, everyone that was not, like, in the vicinity of where gorillas are native to just figured it was just, like, a fucking myth, like a Bigfoot kind of thing, right? It's like big ape man. Fiddles things. Yes, fuck you. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
That absolutely blows my mind because my whole life I've just been like, yeah, gorillas are real. They're a thing.
We've seen zoo videos. Not in our lifetimes though. Like way back. Like 1800s kind of thing, right?
I'm just digesting that the idea of thinking like a real thing is like a myth.
Yeah.
I feel like that
you
would
mean
explain
the continent
a lot.
That we fucking live on.
Or what?
What?
You mean like the continent that we live on that people didn't think existed?
Yep.
Canada?
North America?
In general, yeah.
Oh.
The world is Europe, friend, and Asia. Wait, there's this big thing over here that I've discovered for the glory of whatever.
And then lots of murder happened.
Yep.
I'm a little part of me is just forever going to be disappointed that we'll never be able to just be like find a new undiscovered land.
I mean, you just gotta go up, dude.
You gotta discover.
Oh, damn, you're right. Listen, I don't have a spaceship.
Daddy Musk got you, don't worry. Soon to you.
Now, the Hibigon for notable sighting. In 1970, a man reported seeing an ape-like creature running across the road in Saijo, a northern town of Hiroshima Prefecture in Japan. In 1972, though, Kobe University did check out the forest around Mount Hiba to try and find physical evidence of the Hibagon, and they didn't find anything. But in 1974, a motorist saw a large blackish animal walking near the road on all fours, and when the creature saw the approaching car, it stood up and walked on two legs. The driver stopped the car and got a picture of the creature trying to hide behind a persimmon tree.
Doesn't look like anything.
Looks like a tree?
Looks like a tree.
Cameras were not very good in 1974, though.
Cameras seem to never be very good when it comes to Bigfoot or Bigfoot-like things.
Yeah, that's because it has a fucking cloaking device, dog.
I'm telling you.
I'm still hung up on this monkey is just a fucking ghost monkey that smells bad. That it's a fucking Bigfoot-like thing.
I'm still hung up on people thinking gorillas were fake. There's gotta be like the main source of it, right? Like a gorilla just got really lost.
And someone's like, "What the fuck is that?" Exploring, right? Like very, very long ago, people sailing down the coast of Africa, being like, "I just saw these savage men. They had hair everywhere, and they just beat their chest and threw rocks at me." Right? That was the gorilla as we know it.
Yeah.
But like, if you're like, I don't know.
If you've never seen
Greek
one,
or like an ancient Roman or something, you're like, what the fuck, you're crazy, dude. If you're like, you know, European in like, you know, 1700s.
I can't imagine the Greeks hearing a story about a gorilla and being like, that's fake, but Poseidon, he's real.
Yeah, I'm sure there was some myth building around that kind of stuff.
The Hydra, sure. Real. Gorillas, you're making stuff up.
Well, it was... People would come up with those. They were called moonshine... Well, now they're called moonshine monsters. And it's a story that you tell to keep people away from a certain area.
Or just to explain the world around you, right? Like, while you were gone a little bit earlier, I posted a picture up in the channel. We're talking about Cyclops, right? And, That image I posted, which looks like what you'd expect a Cyclops skull to look like, is actually just a dwarf elephant skull, right? So it's like the big dome with a big hole in the center of its face, which would be for the trunk. But like, if you don't know anything about this animal, which if you are a person living in ancient Greece, you wouldn't, you would just assume that's like an eye hole or something, right? So, like, you make up all these myths and all these things to either keep people away from shit because it's dangerous or to explain what the fuck is happening around you, right?
Yeah. Because, people would come up with, like, the Hydra and, like, Scylla and stuff like that to explain why when people sailed they had to stay close to the shoreline because people didn't really know how to navigate.
Yep.
So you would sail by staying within sight of the shoreline and just sailing past it.
Exactly.
That's where all the like edge of the world stories came from.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's why the original reference to like Atlantis is beyond the Pillars of Hercules, which is like out past the Strait of Gibraltar, which is basically where you exit the Mediterranean and enter like the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
Dang, that's really cool, but it does take a little bit of mystery out of the world.
Yep.
That's what happens when you know everything, dude.
Next up, we have the Mapinguari. Its habitat is the Brazilian and Venezuelan Amazon, as well as Paraguay, so kind of north-central South America. It's man-sized, up to 6 feet and 6 inches when standing on two legs, covered in long, coarse fur ranging from a reddish brown to a black. Again, I think almost every single one except the gray man of Ben McDewey has been reddish brown.
Yeah. It's the same thing, just like projecting itself around the world.
Maybe. Dude, I'm telling you, not only does it have a cloaking device, it has a teleporter. Now, its face is like a monkey with a muzzle like a horse, kind of, but shorter. It's got 4 peg-shaped canine teeth. So I'm kind of picturing this thing's mouth is looking sort of like a warthog's.
I think that kind of tracks with sort of the description of, you know, like an ape or something, though, because they've got those fangs, right?
Sure.
And those are sort of peg-shaped. Though.
6'6". Like, that's much bigger than most
the
apes.
Dire ape.
Yeah.
Although that next piece of the description is troubling.
So it's heavy, powerfully built, and bulletproof.
Yeah.
Two different kinds of tracks. One is round as a pestle, and the other one is like people, like a person's footprint, but backwards. Doesn't that just mean that it's walking the other way?
You would think
that
it
clearly just walks backwards, all right?
It has backwards feet.
Clearly.
You sure you're not just tracking it wrong?
No.
It's got to be going this way. No, the feet are pointing that way. No, its feet are backwards. It's just trying to throw me off.
I'm an expert tracker. I know which direction this creature is going.
I kind of love it. This thing sort of sounds like Japanese yokai, where they just, like, throw random bullshit into a thing and be like, this is it. It's just a head with tentacles, and it flies, and if you tell lies, it'll come lick your feet. Like, this just sounds like that, where they just, like, threw stuff together. Have you never looked into the world of, like, Japanese yokai?
No, I have. I just, the lick your feet part, dude. What the fuck?
Yeah, I just, that felt really on point for like a made up yokai, like on the spot. I'd be like, yeah, I'm sure that's a thing somewhere.
Yeah, dude, I'm gonna call that yokai Phil Schneider. Dan Schneider. Now it's a nocturnal.
That's
or
not libel, is it?
No. We're a comedy podcast.
There you go.
It's fine.
Entertainment purposes only.
This is a nocturnal or crepuscular vegetarian. To anyone who doesn't know, crepuscular means you're mostly awake at, like, dawn and dusk.
That's
when the light is kind of...
Really good word, by the way.
It's rumored to migrate with changing seasons. It stinks so badly that it can knock people out.
Oh, so that's my old coworker.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we've all known someone who can do that.
Yeah, 100%.
It can make a lot of different vocalizations. And
person
some
that
legends
I'm thinking of also did walk backwards.
Some legends.
Did you know
say,
you can stain the air?
What?
You can smell so bad that you stain the air?
Yeah. I've gonna say I've seen it, but I've definitely smelt it.
And here's neat. Some legends say that this thing has one eye or that it has a mouth in its stomach. I'm loving this mapping Guari. This thing is sweet.
So does it, is it like, does it just like hold you with its backwards body and just like bring you up to its stomach where it then eats you? Like some kind of weird like fucking garbage disposal.
I mean,
I have no idea what the ecology of this thing is though. Dude, this is wild.
Mouth on the stomach really does sound a lot more like efficient.
No, for sure. You cut out the middle man. I mean, you'd get a lot of extra bullshit in there that you'd have to...
Think about all the organs you can fit in your neck, though.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
A lot of room for, you know...
How strong your jaws must be. You have a mouth there. If your ab is your mouth.
Do you just try and bite with your stomach? I heard that.
I just flexed my abs.
I
should try and simulate the experience.
So what happens if a mapping Guari
oh my
gets
god,
a
that's
hernia?
Exhausting.
What if it gets a hernia? Because for people, like, the abdominal wall, like, protects you, right? But for a mapping Guari, would it just throw up its own organs?
That's just its tongue, dude.
Oh, my bad. It just starts shoveling them back in.
That's where the smell comes from. It's like a hairball, dude. Unavoidable.
Gross. Now, Oregon in 1913...
It's like those animals that, like, vomit out their stomach and they just, like, suck it back in.
Now, in 1913, a rubber gatherer named Leoncio allegedly killed one that suddenly appeared in front of him while hiking a trail near Acres Moa River. He panicked and shot it 15 times, killing it. Not so bulletproof now.
Yeah.
I mean, it took 15 bullets.
Yeah, but it died to a bullet.
Okay, so I think at that point, it's more of... Is bullet resistant?
Then they should say that. not bulletproof.
You're right.
It's like a Pokemon. It only takes 80% damage from bullets.
It's not very effective.
Doesn't seem very resistant on the whole.
Yeah.
Now, in the 1980s, a group of Kanemari natives living in the Rio Yura
Valley
claimed to have raised two baby Mapinguaris after their mother was scared off by hunters. The people fed them bananas and milk until they were old enough to eat leaves. And after 1 or 2 years, they stunk so badly that the natives just let them out.
It's my good deed. Toss them in the river, dude. Oh, you started to smell real bad. They'll get the fuck out, dude.
How do we take care of this thing? Maybe give it to Banana?
When was the garden hose invented? Because I feel like that might help.
Probably before the 1980s.
Yeah. Interestingly, here's one. In 2014, a group of berry pickers in Brazil's Sumauma Forest Reserve reported seeing a cyclopean Mapinguari. They were in the forest and they heard a strange cry, so one of them started to imitate it.
It's a bad idea.
I don't know. Yeah, why the fuck would you do that in Brazil where everything wants to eat you? The sound came closer and they saw a creature about 2 meters high with only one eye. They freaked out and went back to their tent, but the creature reappeared, so they just abandoned their gear and went back to the village.
All right, so
as you do.
Bad idea number one, imitating the cry. Bad idea number two, thinking your little shitty fucking tent is going to protect you from this thing that's trying to kill you.
Yeah, that one seems like a real bad call. Hey, we've attracted the attention of some unknown thing. Let's lead it back to where we sleep.
Yeah, the protection of this tiny sheet will keep us safe.
Here's the thing. It might not even have been trying to kill them. What if the sound was like a mating call? And they just started yelling it back.
That's worse.
Yeah, I feel like this thing fucking you would probably kill you, right?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about not wanting to call it like a Bigfoot hunting expedition so that we don't like preemptively make the Bigfoot our enemy. So maybe it would be best not to go out into the wilderness and shout the Bigfoot equivalent of "Do me, baby."
No, you just want to get a sex doll instead, right?
Yeah, that was my plan, is to get a really big sex doll and staple shag carpet to it and leave it out in the wilderness so that we can get compromising pictures of Bigfoot for blackmail. It's a foolproof plan, and I stand by it.
We have the doll yell, "Do me, baby."
Yes, we have the doll yell, "Do me, baby."
That's why you got the Bluetooth speaker.
Hear me out. We go to YouTube, perennial wellspring of all human knowledge, and we find a Bigfoot mating call, and we put it in the real doll. Next up, we have the McKinney, or the Chuchunia. I'm not this good one, with Eastern European.
This one looks the most Bigfooty of them all.
Yeah. Found in western Siberia in the Tumen region. It's bipedal and 6 to 7 feet tall.
Just your average Siberian citizen, dude.
Yeah, that's literally just a Russian man. Mostly covered in 2-inch long red-brown hair with shorter hair on the face, ears, and nose. And again, red-brown hair. Every single one all around the world. Rounded head with prominent brow ridges and glowing red eyes. No neck, but wide and muscular shoulders with a barrel-like chest. Interestingly and distinctively, its left forearm is white. Just the left one. Hmm. The hands are large and scoop-shaped, with reddish skin on the palms. It's rumored to migrate with changing seasons. Allegedly, it knocks on windows to announce its presence.
Oh, hey guys, I'm here. Don't be too scared. I'm just gonna... Let you know that I'm here.
That would scare me worse.
You hear a knock, you look over, and he just gives you like a little like wave, like, hey. Das Vidanya.
He just starts screaming at you like some dude you play Dota with or something.
Apparently it hates dogs, and it is capable of creating weapons and clothing. So, yeah, this is literally just a Russian man.
I like how it says it's capable of creating weapons and clothing, but the picture he's not wearing pants or anything.
Yeah,
so
he has the capability, he just chooses not to.
I just love the idea of he makes clothes, but he doesn't use them. So you're like, he knocks on the window, and you're like, oh, what was that? And you go check the door, and there's just like these crudely made pair of pants.
He's just gifting you pants when he knocks on the window. Be like, here's your pants.
I'm actually just a Russian tailor.
I'm an aspiring fashion designer. I'm just hoping to break out of the woods and into the spotlight. I'm just really shy.
His grandson? Hugo Boss.
Oh my god.
No shit. We got some notable sightings. In 1928, the Russian government sent expeditions into the upper regions of the Indigirka and Yana rivers to collect accounts of these creatures. In 87, we have Maya Bikova, who was meeting a man who claimed to have regularly encountered the creature. It knocked on the cabin window at early dawn, and everyone rushed outside to see a 6-foot-plus tall creature leaning against a dead tree, much like the Chupacabra story that we had, where it was like up against the tree when the farmers were in the shed.
I'm just imagining it leaning there like super casual, you know, like one leg crossed across the other there.
Like Fonzie Fonzarelli, where it's just like leaning against with one shoulder with its like feet crossed at the ankles, and then it like slams its elbow back into a jukebox, and the jukebox starts playing and the sign falls off the wall.
That's just sweet. Underhand, just casually underhand tosses you a pair of pants.
Just tosses you pants.
Gives you the finger guns and walks off into the woods.
Sort of, except instead, what happened was that the dog ran out barking. And a couple months later, the dog disappeared and was found with its skull crushed and its body ripped apart.
I mean,
remember that episode where Fonzie did that?
Listen, I love dogs, but they gotta learn to pick their battles.
Yeah. Yeah, dogs are very optimistic about what they can and cannot achieve. And that is both their greatest strength and their greatest weakness.
Yeah. If anything calls a dog on their bluff, the dog is just done for.
Now, the next year, the same lady, Maya Bikova, and a Monsi hunter watched a McKenny look for frogs and mice for 75 minutes. The next morning, they found trampled grass and narrow trails where the creature had walked.
I'm just trying to imagine that. It must look like he just lost a contact or something, right? Because if it's like 7 feet tall and it's looking for mice and frogs, it's got to be like...
It's real dead in there, just like fucking pulling the grass apart. Yeah.
I mean, if you're 7 feet tall, you gotta eat a lot of frogs and mice.
Yeah, I feel like there's better ways to get food.
Maybe it did lose contact. In 2002, an unknown animal was caught in a trap in the Verkhoyansk region. It was about the size of a large dog, but had primate features. The body disappeared, though some say that it was taken by the government. The Russian government.
Just a young, not Bigfoot.
Just a regular old pip leather.
Yep.
You're like 8 feet tall, right?
Getting there.
Nice.
Eat frogs and mice.
I'd try it once.
Can we order frogs and mice on that exotic meat website we were looking at?
Probably.
I know you can get frog legs. That's a fact.
Donate to the Patreon so that I can afford bone lengthening surgery.
We will make Pip into a cryptid.
Pipted.
Fun fact, that's a real surgery.
Next up, we have the Mohau, which is in New Zealand. It's found.
That's just a monkey.
That is just a
monkey. Yeah, it's a New Zealand monkey. It's using stone clubs. It's got a distinctive odor.
So a monkey that holds a stick with a stone attached to it that smells in New Zealand.
Yes.
Sounds like a monkey.
Yeah, yes. I feel like perhaps we're glossing over just how important the ability to attach a stone to a stick is.
Sure, but that's not that uncommon for apes, right?
No other ape does that.
Listen, have we seen them doing the attaching, or did somebody just leave them some tools and they found them and they're like, oh, this is great?
I mean, okay, that one is possible. But yeah, in terms of, like, attaching a stone to a rock, no other animal does that. We have animals that will grab a stick, maybe, and, like, beat something with it, or grab a rock and beat something with it. But we don't have a creature that's going to, like, engineer a tool that it can use. That's not a thing.
I'm looking at an article from 2015 talking about chimpanzees and monkeys have entered the Stone Age. In the rainforests of West Africa, the woodlands of Brazil, and the beaches of Thailand, archaeologists have unearthed some truly remarkable stone tools made by apes.
Yeah.
Is it shaped stone, or is it like stone attached to a stick?
It's like stone attached to a stick. A chimpanzee or monkey's stone hammer is hardly the work of art to rival the beauty of ancient of an ancient human hand axe, but that's not the point. These primates have developed a culture that makes routine use of stone-based technology.
All right,
Rise
I stand
of the
corrected.
Planet of the Apes.
I stand corrected. Chimpanzees are more advanced than I thought, and confirmed this is a real monster now. Thank you for verifying the veracity of this cryptid, Jake. I appreciate you.
Got you.
Myth confirmed.
And this is found in New Zealand. And we got a bunch of different accounts. We have in 1882, the headless, partially devoured body of a prospector was found in the Martha Mine region. And this was attributed to the wild man that other prospectors had seen in the area. In 1970, a group of campers abandoned their camp because a 2-meter-tall man-beast was screaming loudly and hurling rocks at them.
That's pretty tall.
Yeah, dude. 2 meters tall and you're throwing rocks? Yeah, I'll leave.
Yeah. And screaming, dude.
1983, two trampers saw a group of 7 mohau by Lake Waikaremoana. Waikaremoana.
Waikaremoana.
Nice job. I would have struggled with that for a long time.
Thank you. I tried to say it before I fully read it and then had to stop and restructure it in my head. I got there. 1 6-foot-tall adult male, 2 5-foot-tall adult females, 1 young male and 2 young females. They were all wearing animal hides. The trampers watched the mohau from behind foliage and 15 meters above a gully.
That one feels a little spooky because you see like a bunch of like primitive ape men.
I mean,
you definitely don't want them to know you're there.
I mean, unless they were just from New Zealand.
Just a tourist has no idea what he's doing.
It's a Russian tourist. 2001, Rex Gilroy. I've been dealing with so many names that this simple English one just like kicked me right in the dick. Rex Gilroy, an Australian Yowie expert, found 3 fossilized hominid footprints in the Karangahake Gorge.
Those are just footprints.
Yeah, dude. But big. They also found a bunch of faded tracks in the Urawira National Park on the east coast of North Island. 2 of which were good enough for casting. We got a picture. He's holding them up. Those are pretty big footprints, man.
I mean, listen, there are people with feet that big. I could put my foot in that man's hand. It would be about the same size.
Yeah, well, like we just discussed, you are a cryptid, Pip.
Yeah, that's right.
If your foot's the same size as that foot, that is just confirming it further. That's not taken away from it.
I guess. I'm not quite cryptid yet. I gotta get the cryptid surgery.
It really bothers me that in this picture, he's holding the feet... like
Opposite
of how they should be, yeah.
Yeah, backwards?
Yeah, it really bothers me.
Yeah. Maybe they look bigger that way.
Next up, we have the Noi Rung. It's Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, and Borneo, so it's like Southeast Asia.
The big ape, gotcha.
Yeah, dude. Description, it's bipedal, 6 to 7 feet tall, covered in black and or dark reddish fur, sometimes with gray patches. The knees, feet, and hands are all bare. It's sometimes solitary, but sometimes seen in groups. They have a reputation for breaking into houses to abduct people and steal food, and it will happily eat people.
This looks kind of like post-lunch interview. How'd you feel about eating that person? Great, dude. It's fantastic.
First of all, Larry, thank you for having me on the show. Second of all, to answer your question, a deep sense of contentment, and I would say happy. I would say that I happily ate people, yes. He just adjusts his glasses. Now, in 1974, sightings were so frequent that General Huang Mintao, commander of the Northern Forces in the Central Highlands, asked for a scientific survey of the region north of Kontum for what the natives were calling a Noi Rung. All they got was a decent cast of a footprint, wider than a human's and too big to be from an ape. Interestingly, 8 years later, 1982, Professor Tran Hong Viet casted a strange footprint much like the one the survey found. He found it on the slopes of Chu Mo Rai near the Cambodian border. Hmm. So we're getting a lot of consistent descriptions from all around the world.
Yep.
Now, just blast through these last ones because we are running long. We've got the Orang Padek in Kerinci Siblat National Park in Sumatra, Indonesia. This is one where I'm not even going to look at the aliases. Looking at it is giving me like a light headache. I have no idea how to pronounce that.
Ibu Gorgo.
Sedapa. Umang.
It's
Giok Goe.
Is it J? Is it I?
Geo-goy.
Jiawe. Jiawe?
Yeah, I don't know.
That sounded way too...
Sinipa. I like that one.
Geo-goy. Geo-goy?
Yeah.
Now, this thing, interestingly, Indonesian. Unlike the Bigfoot, this is kind of a small foot. It's bipedal. It's only 2.5 to 5 feet tall. Long arms, short legs, big shoulder and chest, not much neck. It has human-like facial features, and it's covered in a golden, orange, yellow-brown, or black-brown hair. It seems to be intelligent, able to observe humans, and when encountered, it puts its arms up in the air to seem like it's bigger. That's cute. That's cute.
It's literally just a monkey.
It's a
like,
little cute.
Read this description and tell me this is not just a fucking monkey.
Vegetarian, it eats bugs, it'll raid home farms and houses for foods, and it can move through the trees like monkeys because it's definitely not a monkey. Because
it's just
as a monkey would.
But I'm finding all these observations. They're saying that it ran like a man and it wasn't an orangutan.
There's more monkeys than just the orangutan.
Monkeys monkeys can run like a man and are not human. This still matches up.
1927, they caught one in a tiger trap before it broke free. The zoologist examined said it wasn't from a bear, a gibbon, or a human.
How about a monkey?
Yeah, it could be from a different monkey.
How about a monkey? Does it match any of your monkey DNA?
They said that resembled a gibbon or a siamang, but not an orangutan. Built like a boxer with an immense upper body strength.
Probably from that tree swinging it does, because it's a monkey that lives in the trees.
Dude, everybody knows that monkeys swing from their tails. That's a fact.
Mm.
I know that that's wrong and not a true fact like most of the facts that I know. Let me have this.
Okay, dude, you can have the tail strength monkeys.
Alright, thanks, Doc. 2018, a group of dirt bikers videoed a small orangish humanoid sprinting away from them at great speed. There's a link there. How about that, Jake?
I'm
doubting Jake.
I'm going in,
yeah,
dude.
Let's see it.
Am I about to see a fucking monkey running away from dudes?
No, you're about to see a fucking orange padek running away.
Mythical ape man caught on camera sprinting from bikers.
You mean an ape man, like a monkey?
Like an ape man.
That's pretty sus.
Speaking about the image specifically, though, it's a very blurry photo where there's a rough outline of small human figure, right? And then there's a slash through it. And then on the other side, it has the same figure walking against a dirt road, but he's like the same color as a dirt road, dude. Almost as if he has a cloaking device.
I see it.
Yeah, Bigfoot has a cloaking device. That's what I'm saying.
Littlefoot, though, dude. We just said that. What do you mean?
Yeah, well, they share.
Yo, hold up here. Related articles: Bigfoot on Mars. Alien hunters make shocking claim of Yeti skull. Where is my Martian Bigfoot theories, baby?
Marsfoot.
Right. Marsfoot.
Before we start pushing too far past
Big
hour,
Mars.
Let's move on to the Yeti, or the abominable snowman, found in the Himalayas, China, India, Russia, Bhutan, Tibet. It's bipedal, between 6 feet and 10.5 feet tall, covered in brown, reddish, or black hair. Supposed to be stocky and ape-like, living around the tree line. Notable are its cone-shaped head and its awful smell.
I do love the cone head thing. I think it's adorable.
Hell yeah. And plenty of people have seen Yetis. It's been a belief by the people for a long time. Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay reported seeing large footprints while climbing Everest in 53. Officials for a long time believed that the Yeti was real and endorsed rules for Americans to follow when hunting for it.
What?
Yeah, you had to get like a certificate from the Nepalese government, and it can't be attacked except for self-defense.
I didn't know that, actually.
You get a permit. Yeah, that's kind of genius, though. For like the tourism?
Yeah. In 2000...
I would absolutely like frame a Yeti license, dude. Even if I never found anything, that's going on the wall. Signed by the Nepalese government.
In 2008, a Japanese team spent 42 days on Dalagiri 4, a mountain where they've seen traces of the Yeti in the past, but they found nothing but footprints.
But they did find footprints.
They did find footprints. Now, last up, we get to the Yowie. Seen all over Australia, most seen in Queensland. It's bipedal, between 5 feet and 9 feet tall. A large red mouth with two big fang-like upper canines. Talon-like claws. Covered in brown or reddish fur. Cone-headed with a wide, flat nose. They reportedly smell like shit and rotten eggs.
Just like your average Australian citizen, honestly.
G'day, mate. Big eyes
this
that
thing,
glow.
Sorry, this thing looks like the description almost from like our first episode there with that thing that was digging in the burial.
Yeah,
that
the
one
Beast
security
of Bray Road?
Yeah.
He just moved a little bit, dude.
Yeah.
They have big eyes on a boat. They have big eyes that glow red or yellow in the moonlight. They're omnivorous and will steal food, and they get a kick out of stalking humans. And we got reports going back to 1790.
Ooh.
Guy saw an ape-man creature near what's now Sydney. Fast forward 50 years, 60 years, we got 1849. Several people saw a 6 or 7 foot tall half-baboon, half-man creature sitting on the edge of a lake. They shot at it, and it left.
I think that's the funniest conclusion to that.
In the 70s... Shooting it. The Quenbeyan Festival Board and 2CA together offered a $200,000 Australian reward to anyone who could capture and present a Yowie. No one has claimed it yet. It's open.
Yet. Offer stands, I assume.
In 96, a couple was driving when they saw a Yowie between Braidwood and the coast, walking upright around 2.1 meters tall with disproportionately long arms and no neck. In 2010, a man in Canberra saw an animal that he described as a juvenile covered in hair with long arms that almost touched the ground in his garage. That would be fucking scary.
Yeah. It was all spook.
Oh, 2020. A woman in Hepburn Springs, Victoria, was in the bathroom at dusk when she saw a dark figure looking in through the window. When she turned around, it was gone. Later, in the bathroom again, she felt like she was being watched and turns to find a Yowie standing in the middle of the window with just the head and shoulders visible. It was covered in dark, reddish-brown hair that was about 3 or 4 centimeters long.
Guy, can you imagine being animal control and getting that call? I need the biggest net you have.
and bring the gun.
I feel the need to point out that we made an effort this episode to stay outside of North American Bigfoots so that we can kind of take a better look at them next episode. This is just like a lot of Asia and Africa.
A lot of monkeys, you mean? Yep.
This was a lot of Bigfoot-like creatures.
Monkeys.
I mean,
listen,
no.
I hate to say it, but this is sort of monkey adjacent, isn't it?
Yeah, this is literally just like an apopedia, bro.
But the fact that people don't believe that they exist makes them Bigfoot and not monkeys. They also smell really bad.
Monkey.
I mean, maybe. When they get discovered and people plop them down dead on a table, we can make them a monkey. But until then, they are a cryptid. Like the gorilla.
I think the gorilla is the only example of a cryptid being real. Okay, cryptid. of a creature that people don't believe exists actually existing.
I'm not sure. There's the jackalope. Not going to go for that one, eh?
Let me Google this real quick so I don't sound like an idiot.
Just let that silence hang for a minute or two.
Oh, wait, you don't know what a jackalope is.
No,
we're
going to
let Pip really feel ashamed.
Now. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Also not real.
Nah, dude, jackalopes are real.
Legends of America saying that it is extinct.
Yes, Legends of America. That's where I go.
Yeah, dude.
Anyway.
It's fake news. Jackalopes are real, dude.
Fact is, there's a bunch that exist in North America. Sasquatch, skunk ape, Momo, all kinds of stuff.
Momo.
And next episode, we're going to take a bigger look. Oh, we'll get into Momo, dude. I'll give you the deep Momo lore.
Oh, God. Is that the... the big eye thing?
It's not the...
maybe.
Yeah, I've seen this.
I don't think Momo's that, like, bird lady creepypasta thing. I think it's the Momo we're talking about. It's an older...
That's a different... yeah, that's
oh,
a different...
oh, yeah, I'm thinking recent creepypasta, yeah. It's like, we're really going back.
That's okay. Momo 2. We got Momo Origins
Momo
here.
Momo 2.00, dude.
Well...
fair enough.
That sets us up perfectly for next episode. So I just want to take a minute, thank everybody that was involved here. Loa for the research, Colton for the editing, Pip and Jake for showing up and poking holes in all of my dreams of discovering a cryptid one day.
They're just monkeys, bro. It's time to wake up.
I refuse.
Listen, the trick is we need people to donate to the Patreon so that we can become the cryptids we want to see in the world.
If you donate $5,000 to the Patreon, we will take you on a Bigfoot hunting expedition.
I feel pretty Bigfoot confident saying, like, yeah, you donate $5,000, we will definitely go Bigfoot hunting with you. Finding.
All expenses paid.
By you. With $5,000.
Yes, with your $5,000. Exactly. Yes. What you get is the gift of company.
You could be in the episode.
Yeah, hell yeah.
As we go Bigfoot friending.
Hotline Abyss, dude.
Well, check out our Twitter at twitter.com/OOTAP. Join our Facebook group at Out of the Abyss Podcast. Or check out our Patreon at patreon.com/OOTAP. Thanks as always for tuning in. And remember, everything has an element of the unknown. Good night.